Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Thank you for joining us every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, where we're here every Tuesday waiting to have you join us and participate in a Word of Bible Study. Tonight we're going to have Brother Mark Bryan, who will lead us in a song, and he'll give us the scripture for tonight's Bible study, and I will lead us in prayer. So, Brother Mark, if you're ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go. What scripture will we be starting with tonight?
We'll be starting at Romans 12, 1 through 2, and Matthew 13, 1 through 23. That's Matthew 13.
So, Brother Lester, write that down. I'm writing it in, so he'll know which one do you want him to read for the Bible study tonight. I'm writing it down. Say it again.
That's Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23.
Brother Lester, did you get that?
I think he got it, and we are
awesome. So
ready for
let him read for the Bible study, and let him read Romans 12, 1 through 2, and if you would sing a song, we'll have you do the song, then Brother Lester will do the scripture, and I'll do the prayer. All right. Let's go, Brother Mark.
All right. All right. Again, thank you all for joining us at Your Place Christian Bible Study, where God is exalted and the Word is explained. We're truly happy that you're taking time out of your busy schedules to join us, whether you're here in the city of Indianapolis, around the country, of the United States, or around the world. Thank you for joining us at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. As our pastor has said, we will start off with songs, scripture, and then prayer. Our song for this evening will be, I Don't Know Who Holds Tomorrow. We're singing this because we talk about faith. And truly, the only one we know who holds tomorrow is Jesus Christ himself. So today, this evening, our song is, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day, and I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray, and I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus he said, and today I walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs are I climb. Everybody getting lighter. Every cloud is silver line. Oh, I don't worry over the future. For I know what Jesus He said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Going to be reading from Romans 12, the Amplified Bible, verses 1, where it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart, as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by renewing your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. May God add a blessing to the reading of His word."
Amen. God, we just want to come to you tonight and to thank you for being an awesome, awesome God, a God of our love and a God who sees us as our God and that we are God's children. As we come before you tonight, we come asking that you would empower us, that you would enlighten our spiritual eyes to see that as we are dealing with the topic tonight of how to handle hard times with faith, we have come and Lord, and we've tabled, Lord, to sup, and we've come to, and you promised not to leave us ignorant, but if we come to knock on the door and it would be all open, if we seek you, you said we find you. And so we're seeking you and the word tonight. And we're asking that you would open that door to our understanding and our learning so that we would have clarity of the word. Help us to clearly get it, O God, on how to handle the hard times of our life with faith. We go through so many things, but right now it's so crucial. As our world is crumbling, it seems, all around us, we need to know how to handle these hard times with faith. We thank you for Brother Mark, who is leading the Bible study tonight. We thank you for Brother Lester and those who have joined us. And we are trusting you for a good word tonight so that we will truly get a grasp of culminating this study on how to handle hard times with faith. We ask these blessings now. In your Son Jesus' name, we pray and we love you and we look forward to what you have in store for us. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm so very excited about this evening. We've had a wonderful month of May, and during this month we are dealing with the topic of how to handle hard times with faith. And Mark Bryan has been our instructor and Brother Lester Carver. And Mark started us off as we looked at Deuteronomy 31. It's about how to handle hard times with faith. We looked at how we need to, in the process of handling the hard times, we need to wait on God. Come on, somebody, amen. And after we understood that we needed to wait on God, we learned that trust that God has a plan. You know, we're not in this alone. God has a plan. We just needed to figure out how to access the one that has a plan so that we can get on board and understand what that plan is. trusting God, waiting on God, knowing God has a plan for us, placing our hope in the Lord, which is what Brother Lester led us with last week, placing our hope in the Lord. And tonight, Brother Mark, you have for us the focus on how to handle hard times with faith is.
Amen, amen. Thank you all again for joining us this evening. Before we even start, if I could get a roll call of those that are on the phone or would like to contribute to this Bible study.
I just wanted the title, Brother Mark. I'm sorry, I guess you didn't hear me. I was trying to get the title of tonight's lesson as it relates to handling hard times with faith.
That's the title, How to Handle Hard Times with Faith.
Okay, awesome. So who's on the line tonight? We've got Brother Carter, who can't say he's online. He's got us on mute. Anybody else? Myself and...
This is James.
Brother Nux. Yourself and Brother Lester. I think that's who we got right now.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and start. And our theme for this month has been How to Handle Hard Times with Faith. We're going to start off with Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, and I'll go ahead and read that. And if someone, Vesta, could you prepare Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23? And I'll go ahead and read this scripture, Romans 12, again, 1 and 2, and give some thoughts on that, and also ask that you all bring your thoughts and give guidance of what your thoughts are in regard to this scripture, in regard to how to handle hard times with faith. This is the Bible scripture.
Amen.
Reads to us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what
Amen.
I get from this is, and I'd like you all's thoughts on this also, but what I get from this is that many times we are thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about, how we would do things. And we've got to get to a place and a position where we choose to please God versus ourselves. And, you know, we got to please God versus people. We've got to serve God versus man. We've got to trust God versus the ways of others, and to operate, in faith, versus operating in our own selves. And many times we're not doing that. We are looking for ourselves to find the answers or to actually make things happen. And we've got to be transformed into what God has us to be, and to allow doubt, and that we should allow ourselves to be used of God and for God, and to please God. If we do those things, then our path will become straight. Is there anyone else who has anything else they'd like to say in regard to Romans 12, 1 and 2?
I like the idea that it says that we're not to be conformed to this world, which is to be circumstance conditioned, but we're to be transformed as we renew our mind to the Word of God. And to be transformed means we go from one state to another. They go from a state of fear to a state of power, because you renewed your mind to the Word instead of looking at the circumstances and cowering in fear to what you see, hear, taste, touch, or smell.
I think that's awesome. Many times that just the thought of going from fear to power, going beyond the circumstance, is spiritual in itself. Because many times as men
Amen.
And women, we're
Amen.
Stuck in fear. Can you all hear me?
Yeah, this
yes.
is Dr. Susie. I wanted to elaborate on what Lester said. when he was talking, and this is what jumped out at me when I heard that too, Lester, mm-hmm. was about the conforming of no longer conforming to the world but being renewed. See, when we're in hard times, we can't operate the way we always did. Because if you do what you always did, you get what you always got. And believing it's going to be different is insanity. So God is saying to you, trust me and renew. Become, renew your mind. Come, do what it is that I'm trying to transform you into, to give you a new way, a new, as Lester was saying, a new sense of empowerment. You know, because when you're going through hard times, your methodologies and your way obviously wasn't working. So if we do it God's way, with a sense of empowerment through his word, then that's empowering us to go through hard times with faith.
Amen.
Dr. Nooks was trying to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to read it from the message, and then I wanted to comment on it. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So I wanted to just talk about this conforming to the culture around you and fitting in. And this is a danger that we as believers fall into daily, is conforming to our culture. And as we look at churches being conformed into businesses and having business managers and churches sometimes getting away from the faith and the spirit and relying more on conforming to the world and entertainment and doing things to please the itching ears of people, we need to be reminded that we need to be embracing God and that God, what God is trying to do for us is the very best for us. And I really like that. If we think about our lives and we think about, you know, yielding to God, and it's hard for us to yield because we don't think we need anybody to do anything for us until we get slapped upside the head a few times and realize that we can't make it on our own. But we need to fix our minds on God and what God is trying to do with us and through us and to us, and concentrate on that and don't be drugged down by our culture. And this is so hard to do because folks want to conform. I mean, they don't want to stand there. They don't want to feel different. You know, it's uncomfortable. But that's the uncomfortableness that we need to be walking with. You know, we don't fit, and we don't. We're not supposed to fit. We're not to be conformed to this world. And so when you don't feel like you fit, you're all right in God's eyesight. I mean, If you're trying to do what God wants you to do and you don't fit, then you're all right with God. You don't fit with the world, but you fit with God. So this is so important to us, is that when we don't feel like we fit, then it's okay.
Amen.
Let me ask you this, because you brought a really good point in regard to the culture, not only beyond that we have in our environment, or that which we have on our jobs, or even within our homes, but just specifically the cultures that have been created within our churches that have changed over a period of years to go from servanthood and and a will to please God to a will to please man. So how do you subscribe changing or as the Bible speaks of renewing our minds in this culture that trains people, quote, how to church, how to be church, how to serve God, what they should do from A to Z, and they're learning. They don't know anything else but what they've been taught, and so, you know, how are they going to renew their mind when, you know, you developed a habit and created a value on sometimes a false premise? You know, how do you know what do you do in that regard?
This is Les DeCarver here. I have an answer for that. One of the things that I think the church has to do in general is bring things back to the standard of the Word of God, which is the only truth that we know. It's unfortunate because these days the standard of the world that we've conformed to suggests that truth is relative, that person A can have one truth and person B can have another truth. And the fact is that they might have their opinions or their beliefs, but the truth of the Word of God, or Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is the only truth. And everything else is simply opinions and beliefs and whatever else you want to call them, but don't call them truth. Otherwise, we fall into this trap of relative truth. And if the Word becomes the standard for truth, then the question is, what did God say? And then we do what the Word says.
Okay. Does anyone else have any thoughts about that?
The Word of God is the standard. I mean, that is what we need to be striving to understand. And always to be in the posture of love. And always in the posture of humility and giving. And Jesus says we're supposed to love God and we're supposed to love our neighbor. And whenever we get to the point that we don't do that, then we know. And he says on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets.
Amen.
So if we ever get to that point that we're not doing that, then we know that there's something wrong. Now, we can disagree on theology. But we don't need to disagree on the Word of God. I mean, we need to be get beyond whose theology it was and get to the Word of God. I used to get in arguments with people in our church about they felt like we ought to be following this theology or that theology. I said, what about the Bible? But, you know, we need to be studiers of the Word, and then we need to be prayers so that we can help God, ask the Spirit of God to help us to understand. And have discernment of the Word, and look out for people entertaining us. And anytime we go to church to be entertained, and then there's something wrong with our culture. There's something wrong with our minds. We need to be renewing our minds when we get to that point. And I know that in some churches it is an entertainment thing. We get the best singers, the best musicians, and we have things so flashy and. Nobody wants to come to Bible study. Nobody wants to study the Word of God. Nobody wants to hear preaching that might cut somebody a little bit or make them feel uncomfortable, so we make them feel good. So the Word of God ought to be something that chastises us sometimes, and it ought to make us think sometimes. But I agree with Pastor Lester there that we need to be, the Word of God needs to be the center of us understanding what we should be doing.
So, Dr. Susan, why is it important, or even is it important, to have faith in this journey to renew my mind?
Amen. And I guess that's what I was actually thinking about, Brother Marcus. We talked about that. You know, we have to remind people that. And your question was, why do we need to have faith on this journey of renewing our mind?
Yes, ma'am.
Well. The first thing that we have to remind people about, because I'm sure there's some scholars out there and there are other people, and my definition may be different from Dr. Nook's, which may be different from yours and Lester's as well, but we got to remind people that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith to me is trusting in something you can't actually prove. And there are like two aspects of this faith. It's kind of like if you see it's kind of like you have an intellectual understanding and a trust. For example, mm-hmm. you would intellectually believe that the chair is there and that the chair exists and that the chair is used for somebody to support somebody to sit in. But trust, which is the other aspect of that, is it actually sitting in a chair. So when we have faith, we actually have to use both aspects of that on the journey of understanding. And as you said, the question is the journey of renewing our mind. So not only do we believe that that's taken place, but we actually have to do something about it. We have to put actions together. You know, Brother Lester talks about this all the time as, you know, works, faith without works is dead. And so as we do that, you know, not only do we have a chair, but we got to go sit in it. Not only do we talk about conforming our minds so that we can be effective in handling our faith, but we talk about it, put the process in place, but actually do it and start to rely and trust that God is doing that. And I think sometimes we forget to believe that God is changing us, that God is transforming us. We are not the same person that we used to be. And we need to walk in faith knowing that God is making those changes in our heart and in our lives and walking and depending on that.
Let me ask you this. You know, and as we are walking in this journey to renew our minds and we're using you know, what we call faith, and that faith requires, you know, action. So faith in action. What is it, you know, let's get down to, you know, those situations where, you know, we don't have what we need. We don't have what we want. We don't have what we need. We believe in this man or this being called Jesus, and we want to renew our minds. We want to have, you know, we want to use this faith in action. But our circumstances is not indicating that this Jesus is around, that, you know, my bills are due, my family ain't there no more, my husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend ain't there to support me, I can't see the direction that I should go. What should I do? And we talk about, you know, this is our theme, you know, how to handle hard times with faith. But what should I do? I don't, you know, I believe this, but this is a circumstance that I'm in.
So let me restate what I think I heard you say. I heard you ask the question, how do we handle hard times with faith as we're in the process of renewing our mind and we don't have support? Is that right?
Well, it goes beyond support. I can't see my way through.
Because your family's not around. People aren't there.
My family.
You don't have the support.
My family, my friends.
Or resources.
My money is funny. My change is strange. And I don't have anyone to go to. So how can I deal with this? I mean, you know, I'm in a real-time situation. This is hard times. And I like when things are fine, but I don't know how to adjust or deal with my desire to have faith versus my circumstances that I see that I'm producing a result. So what am I going to do?
You know, this is what the Word of God says in Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, "Trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding." And then it says, "In all of your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize Him, God, and He will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." And that's what we have to do. So renewing your mind is a process of rejecting what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and embracing all of what the Word of God says instead.
So does that mean that as I'm, you know, blocking out those things that I see and believing in God, you know, versus those things I hear, say, see, or smell, does that mean that I have to pray or sing? Can I sing my way out of it? Can I pray my way out of it? Can I fast my way out of it? What things do I have to do because I got to, you know, I got to get out of this. I don't know what, you know, I hear the first part, but what else can I do?
Well, I heard his brother Lester had set the foundation for that answer, Brother Marcus. He's already said, you said do I. You got to remove I out of it. Because
oh, okay.
Your faith is in God. It's not about you. It's about what you're aspiring, what you're putting your faith in. It's about believing in God to transform your mind, to take you where you need to be, and walking in that. He made that clear. It's about trust in the Lord and not leaning on your understanding, not depending on your abilities, but 100% move it out of your control to where it's beyond what you can truly understand, because it's in God's hands now. I think sometimes as long as we're trying to control it and as long as we get our hands on it, then it's really not faith because we're still doing something with it.
So it's almost like, you know, I'm getting a picture of like if I spray some cologne, you know, I'm just using an example. I don't know. I think Lester uses this sometimes. You know, if I spray some cologne or if I'm a female, I spray this perfume, and I can't see this perfume or touch it. But if I walk into that perfume or that cologne, that gets all over my clothes. It gets all over my body. It saturates me. And if I walk into that and take in it, it's going to be on me. And so, and it's not me, but it's something else, which we call Jesus, that places himself inside us. And if I can get that which he's placed inside me, I don't have to worry about my thoughts or my fears or my doubts or despair. I can lean on to his grace, his understanding, his love, his peace. And if I walk into that, like I walked into this cologne, God can give the blessings. He can give the direction. He can give what I need. Is that correct?
Amen. Because, see, what you meditate on, what you study is what you're going to believe. What you believe is what you're going to say. What you say is what you're going to do. And you're creating your reality based on what you're meditating on. So if you're meditating on the Word of God, you're renewing your mind to the Word and replacing what you're observing with the Word. But if you're not, if you're so focused on the adversity, on the circumstance, then you believe what you're saying is those circumstances and challenges and problems are bigger than God. We all know that's not true. But that's what you're saying when you give them more attention than you give the Word and the promises of God in the Word. So that's why we have to diligently replace our fear response with the promise of the Word of God. And the more we challenge ourselves to do that, the more what we speak is going to be how God is in the process of delivering us, and our expectation is that God is going to be right on time, that God is going to provide more than enough, that God is going to make our way clear and make our path straight. But that requires us to trust absolutely.
Can
we
want
to welcome the two callers to the line. We've got Pastor Diggs and Brent is on the line joining us, and Carmen. We just want to thank you guys for joining us. We're now talking about how to handle hard times with faith as we renew our mind, and we're working on that right now with Mark Bryant as our facilitator.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Brother Bryant.
Thank you all. Thank you all. As the pastor was speaking, we were talking about how to handle hard times with faith. And we talked about, you know, renewing our mind and using faith and what does it take to renew our mind and leading not to our understanding and having the mindset to please God versus people and to serve God versus man and to trust God versus others and to operate in faith. And, you know, my next question, as we were talking about turning fear into power and from power into deliverance, how important is what we say? Because one of the things that you know, we kind of talked about briefly, and I kind of made the analogy, you know, when my money is funny and my change is strange and my mindset isn't already there, then I was taught that I need to, by one of the other speakers, that I need to change my mindset. But then my question goes, how important, if I want to go from fear to power and power to deliverance, how important is the words I speak? How important is the words I speak or that which I say in regard to my journey of renewing my mind to receive this power and deliverance? Carmen, can you speak to that? I don't know if Carmen heard me or not.
Okay. Brother Brett, are you there?
Brother Brett?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, did you hear my question, Brother Brett?
Yeah, I heard it. I'm just trying to figure out how to get my point across because there's a lot of things.
Okay, go ahead and think about it. Think about it for a few minutes. We'll come back to you.
Well, wait a minute. The question prior to this one was kind of complexing to a lot of people in the way that it was brought out. I think we all have to remember that faith is something that, and I don't care how much schooling you have, how much intellect that you have, you cannot have that intellect when you're dealing with faith. Faith is something that's was around back in Genesis. Because if you remember when Adam and Eve came into the knowledge that God did not want them to have, God said, they are not gods. Because knowledge takes away from the innocence that he had already instilled in Adam and Eve. Now with the knowledge, it's hard for us to go back to the base, which is believing in something that you don't see. That's why people have such a hard time struggling with faith. One time I did a sermon when I was in junior church at 25th Street Baptist, and the name of the sermon was, "What do you have in your spiritual bank? What do you have that you can call on?" Faith is part of that, part of your Christianity that you should be able to draw on whenever you're in need of something, because without faith, you don't have anything. And how are you going to believe in something that you can't see when you overthink it, when you have to have proof? Scientists says they have to prove everything. But when you get down to the real nuts and bolts of science, they can't explain everything. You can have all the book sense that you want to have, but you get in the pulpit, you can't deliver your sermon unless you allow your faith to work on you. Some of the best sermons that people have had is when they stepped out on faith and let God lead them. Many times I have written sermons, and when I go to deliver it, 5 minutes into it, I put my notes away because God takes over and takes me where he wants me to be at. And that's what we have to do. We have to allow our minds to go back to the point that we are led by something we don't see. We do it every day, but nobody acknowledges it go to bed. You don't have to go and get up in the morning. When you do, how did you get there? You're taking a breath of air. How do you know you got air? You don't see it. But we know it's there because when we talk about the wind, we can see the grass bend. We can see the trees bend. We know the leaves fall and they can blow away. That's all air. You can't see it, but you know it is air. Why can't you do the same thing with faith? Faith is something God gave us. We need to be using that every day. But you have to acknowledge it, because when you get in your car, you start it. You expect for it to start. That's faith. But you go into a four-way stop sign. You expect everybody else to stop with you. That's walking. That's living our lives on faith every day. But people don't look at it that way. They take that for granted. They just take it. Oh, there's a four-way stop. Everybody's got to stop. Well, you might have that one crazy person on cell phone now. Hey, we used to say if they get drunk, they will run the stop sign, but now people get on cell phones and run it. But every day we do something that is based on faith. Whether you believe in God or not, it's still faith. And a lot of people that don't go to church, don't believe in God, they are still acting on faith and don't know it. So when you talk about everything that we do, it is all built on faith. That's it. Because I can keep going.
No. I like where you're going. But let me ask you, because you specifically talked about, acting in faith. And, and along the lines of the fact that we have to renew our minds to be able to understand and start acting in that faith. And if we do so, then my question is, how important is the words that we say? How important is what we say in regard to using that faith to go from faith to power to deliverance? How important is it important at all?
Well, you know what? This is what the word has to say. In Matthew 21:22, it says, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Right? And faith is what comes from God, but believing is what we do with that faith that comes from God, because God is asking us to tap into the supernatural. He's asking us to use the power of the Holy Spirit in us so that we can go past our own abilities, right, and tap into the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit within us. So that's why it says whatever we ask in prayer, we will receive. Those are absolutes if we have faith, right? So our faith causes us to act in belief with believing action, and that is what makes it available for us to actually access what we ask for. But if we don't believe, if we don't have faith, we're not going to do anything that indicates we expect to receive what God is wanting to provide to us, right? So we have, and then Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits, right? So if you love the power of the tongue and you speak what you want instead of what you don't want, then you'll have what you desire, right?
Go ahead. So you're saying that we literally can decree what we want if we ask in faith.
According to the word.
Oh, right. We're speaking specifically how we use faith to go from our fears, which are very natural, to power, a position of power, to deliverance. And so can anyone give me an example where they actually were in a situation where they were fearful and they went from fear to power to deliverance? Can anyone give you an example of that?
I want to ask you something before anybody answers. When you talk about fear, what is fear? Is that not a faith or something that makes us afraid?
It's the absence of faith.
Okay. But people believe in fear, though.
Well, and you know what? Think of fear as the inverse of faith, right? So if you expect the negative to happen, then everything that you do is going to be in anticipation of the worst-case scenario, right? But faith says if you believe that God is going to protect you the way he promised, if you believe
right.
that God wants you to prosper and be in health, then your expectation, your action is consistent with the promise in God's word. So what you're going to do is in preparation for God fulfilling his promise, not in preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, if rent day is coming up, I don't have the rent today. If I believe God is going to provide the rent, I'm looking for how the rent is coming, right? If I
right.
don't believe God is providing the rent, I am packing my bags and loading my stuff up and calling my friends to help me move and finding a place and a storage place to get my stuff, right? That is the difference. So fear, an acronym for fear, is false evidence appearing real. You know that one of the devil's, the perfect games for the devil is poker, right? Where you can have a losing hand, but you can fake somebody out and cause them to fold, cause them to quit, so you win by default. That's what the devil's trying to do to you when he is threatening you with peril, right? But when you stand on the promise of the word, what you're saying is you're not bigger than God. There is nothing the devil can do to undo what God promised in his word. And so you call the devil's bluff and you say, show me your hand. And when he shows you your hand, you know what happens? God shows up, he gets glory, you get delivered, and you got a testimony, and now you're going to go to the next challenge because the devil
there
doesn't stop just because you passed one test, right? That's how
go.
This works.
I understand that. But a lot of people act in fear, and they'll succumb to fear more so than succumbing to faith.
And there's a reason for
because
that, too.
You
do you realize that our culture, they spend billions of dollars on fear, trillions of dollars, motivating people to buy medication they don't need, motivating people to buy all kinds of stuff they don't need. When you turn on the TV, you open a magazine, everything you hear on the radio is fear-driven because people respond to fear more than they respond to faith, right? So if you're afraid of getting a disease, you're probably more likely to respond to that than somebody saying, hey, if you do this, your health will get better than it is. People aren't concerned about their health getting better. They're concerned about not getting sick, right? Whereas if you're focused
okay.
on your health getting better, you're going to drink water, you're going to exercise, you're going to eat like you got some sense, and you're going to get some sleep, right?
Go ahead.
To get to what Brother Mark Bryan was saying about speaking, I think it's very important, and I agree with everything everybody's saying. But when we speak God's word, it helps to increase our faith.
Amen.
We have a tendency of having schizophrenia and forgetting where we came from and who we are and who brought us to where we are. But when we say things like, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?
And who shall I be afraid?
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked
Amen.
Came against me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell."
Amen.
And, you know, it does something. It gives you. But if you don't say it, I mean, and I know there's people that can't speak. But when you say it, "The Lord is my life and my
there you
salvation,
go.
Whom shall I be?" I mean, if you're in the midst of fear, if you're afraid about, say that. Practice it, my brothers and sisters that are on the line. When you
Amen.
Get in a situation,
come on.
Say it. And I guarantee you that if you have faith
come on.
In God, that it will transform your life. It'll bring
Amen.
You out of that fear state when you realize that the Lord is the strength
come
of
on.
My life.
Yes.
Of whom shall I be afraid? You know.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
I think Brother Mark Bryan was trying to get out of us. I think it's so important for us to say.
Absolutely, we have got
one
Amen.
Of the things.
Go ahead.
One of the things I think Dr. Nix is trying to another thing I think I'm hearing from what Dr. Nix said is that as we handle hard times with faith, we have to understand that scripture is a foundation of encouragement while you're going through. And the scripture
right,
is John 14:27 says, you know, I'm starting with 25. Says, I tell you these things while I'm living with the friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. So the scripture is there. The scripture, all the things that God has given us, is there to give us peace, to give us an understanding, to help us understand that we're not abandoned, but we have that to strengthen us and to help us to go on our journey and on our way. If we would just trust it and understand that it's the message that God has given us to maintain it, to strengthen us, and to make it.
Amen.
I think
there's
another scripture. Go ahead, Mark.
I can't impress how important it is for us to get over our false evidence appearing real, because there is no true threat, there is no immediate danger, there is no threat of loss, there is nothing that we have but our imagination that keeps us from the will of God.
Amen.
And if we,
amen.
I love how Brother Nix had just spoken. We have to remind ourselves and speak God's word to encourage our spirits to go from faith to power to deliverance. Go ahead, sister.
I thought that was really good. I was just trying to say that all the things that we're hearing tonight are different methodologies that come to remind us of how to handle hard times with faith. And as if we understand specifically, that's what we always talk about Bible study. That's why we always telling people that you have to have the word, because of the word teaches you and becomes a foundation on which you can draw from when times are difficult. It becomes water.
Amen.
That's eternal to your soul, that nourishes you and strengthens you. And when you need it, it's there. And so that's why we ask you to come to Bible study and to get that in your heart, so that when you're going through hard times, you have it there to draw upon. Just like deer pants for water, our souls will then draw from the well of knowledge that God has given us and imparted in our hearts, specifically when we need it.
Amen.
And with that said, can we have a couple of verses that encourage our soul? I am truly a believer that God's word will take us through these hard times.
Amen. So what's the question you have, Brother Mark? What would you like?
The question I had, can we get a couple of scriptures that speak of God's blessings, where God tells us to encourage ourselves? Well, we're blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord,
all
that is within me.
I have an encouraging scripture for me, and it's 1 John 1:8. It says, if we claim we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is errant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself, God's self. He'll forgive our sins, purge us of all wrongdoing. And if we claim that we've never sinned, we out and out contradict God, make a liar of God, a claim that only shows our ignorance. But if we do this, if we understand that relationship with God, then we can be made free of that and God is true and just to empower us to do what, to help us to be where we need to be. But it's only when we truly admit where we are. And I think that's part of what we need to understand is when we're going through hard times with faith, Brother Mark, is that we often have to look at our situation to make sure that there is no sin. We got to make sure that we have come to the Lord and we're open and that we've freed our lives of sin so that we can move forward in where God is trying to take us, because God won't help us if we're living in sin. God can't. That's against who God is. That's why it says we ought not contradict God. But when we clean our lives of that sin, go to God and do the things we've been talking about this month, then God is willing and just to support us and to help us as we make our pleas, you know, because we ask, we knock, we seek, and God provides. When we are coming to him with open heart and we've cleansed our bodies and minds of sin.
Amen, amen, amen. I know we're close to the ending of our Bible study, but I want to kind of go around, and if each of you all could give an idea of something you've taken from today's Bible study. Brother Nooks.
But this is James. I get from it how important it is for us to really have faith and to speak the blessings that God has given us. It helps to inspire us. And for those that are listening in, that you're going through some hard times and you made some mistakes, don't feel like you're alone, because all of us have. All of sin comes short of the glory of God, but God is still there, ready and willing to forgive. So we ask you to repent. And continue to seek God and then to understand that God is there for you and with you.
Amen. Amen. Sister Karma.
I think she's off the line.
Okay. Brother Britt.
Okay. Yes, you'll bear with me a minute. Something came to mind when everybody was talking. Romans 16 is a personal greeting that was written. But if you go down to verse 17 through 20, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings that you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talking, flattery, they deceive the minds of native people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord and Jesus be with you. I think that kind of sums it up.
Amen. Amen. Brother Carter.
You know, the thing that sticks with me is faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. And when I look at that verse in 2 Corinthians 4:13, where it says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak. We say what the word says, so that our faith that we hear from the word can come to fruition. And that's what sticks with me from tonight.
Amen. Amen. Pastor?
You know, Brother Mark, we've had such an awesome lesson for the month of May. you've talked about why we should operate in faith in hard times. You talked about how we actively wait on God. You told us how to trust God's got a plan. You told us to place our hope in the Lord. And with all of this, including tonight, with all of this, including tonight's lesson, what comes to mind for me is, you know, we've got to understand that when we're going through hard times with faith, we've got to understand and go before the Lord and clear our hearts of any known sin so that, and I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but you got to be willing to go to the Lord and ask him to show us if there's anything in our life that's causing havoc or hard times with us, and then confess that when God shows it to you, agree with it, repent from it, and then we've got to say whatever God wants in our lives. And I'm speaking for myself because I've been going through some hard times, and this lesson has been, this month's lesson has been very helpful to me, and it reminds me that I have to take myself to a position of neutrality and say, let your will be done, God, in my life. What it is that you want, that's what I want for me. You know, so, and I think how we handle the hard times depends on how difficult that's going to be. And then once we do that, we have to be patient. And we got to trust that God is going to work. That's what you've been trying to teach us. And as we're patient, trusting that, then we have to be persistent in our prayer and knowing that God's promises will be true, that God will stand on God's promises and wait for the peace when that happens and trust that God is going to help us when we go to him, because it says, what father, when his son asks him for bread, would give him a snake? And so we have to understand that God is going to answer. God is going to provide. And then once God does, we just got to wait for the peace that God brings and gives.
Amen.
So I'm just so grateful. Awesome lesson. Awesome lesson.
Amen. Amen. That which I've got out of this lesson is the power of a word, the power of the word of God to speak and to decree our future. You know, and I know God has a future for us. And I truly believe if I want to go from fear to faith and from faith to have my power and my power to deliverance, you know, I've got to speak, you know, the word of God and believe that he will do just what he said he would do. And so I'm thankful and I'm grateful for the opportunity to not only to deliver the messages of this month with the assistance of Pastor Carver, but I'm grateful to God that he has given us a way of escape. He has given us a sense of peace even in the midst of the storm. And if we have faith in him, he'll give us the direction and the peace and the deliverance of the needs that we have in any way that we have that need. God is and God will. And so I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I turn this lesson back over to our pastor.
Amen. Yes. We want to thank everybody for their awesome contributions tonight. We've got people on the Bible study we need to lift up. And I ask that you lift up Brother Eric tonight and Sean and Dr. Edwards, and if there's others, if you could throw their names in now as I'm speaking, if you would lift them up as they do need prayer, as myself and my children, and Brother Eric, as he's not been well. Anybody else?
Just Britt. I need prayer for my son, Britt Ursary. He's doing pretty good with his wrist, but it looks like they may have to go in and do another operation. And so he's got a lot more mobility than his surgeon thought that he would have. But there's another person, her name is Michonne Mullen. She has been a child of God, and she got so far away from it. Now she's trying to come back. And I've been trying to help her by showing her a roadmap. And so far, it's coming slowly, but I asked for prayer for her because she's on the verge that she keeps talking about why she did what she did. And I'm trying to get her to understand that is not the path that God wants her to go through. Otherwise, she wouldn't have came to me for help. So I'm asking for prayer for her.
Amen. We also want to lift up Orlando and Cassie and his mom. And as people are struggling, you know, with their health, and God is able to strengthen them, and we're going to trust God for health and deliverance, and that God's will take place in all of our lives. We want to pray for businesses that are on the line. We want to pray for people to pay the bills that they've incurred, and that that will be right away. You know, that people will follow through as they should. Are there any more? Are there any praise reports before we turn in? Praise reports.
I'd like to ask for a prayer for so many people in our country that can't afford health care and are really struggling with being able to survive, that are having to pay enormous medical bills, and people that are struggling that are sick.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. Well, if that's all the prayers. Go ahead.
This is Mark.
Mark.
I just want to praise God for your new job, and I want to praise God for the contract that are getting ready to come in by the end of this week, and I want to praise God for the job that He's going to bless me with. And I just wanted to give God thanks ahead of time.
Amen. 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 Second, third, fourth, that. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you now, and we just thank you, Lord, for watching over us and keeping us. We ask that you continue to remind us and our radio audience of how to handle hard times with faith. Lord, we thank you for the revelation knowledge that we've received tonight, and we're asking, oh God, that you would help us live into this, that we would actually understand, as we have said intellectually, a sin of believing the very things that we've talked about tonight, that we could wrap our heads around, that we believe that, and then to trust, oh God, that you're going to do those very things for us as we deal with the hard times, that we believe and that we trust. And we are trusting you, we're believing, we're acting on it right now. We're asking, oh God, that our friends and our families and our loved ones would be blessed. We're asking that you would bring forth the jobs that are needed to provide help and security for our families. We're asking, oh God, for health care for people in our country. Lord, we're asking that justice be done in our world. Lord, we've had so many people struggling because so much injustice has not occurred, and we ask the question, how long? So we're asking you, oh God, to manifest those things right now in Jesus' name, that you would help us right now in Jesus' name, that you would bring forth funding right now in Jesus' name, and that this Bible study would be able to make a difference in the lives of people all around the world. Right now, in Jesus' name, we ask it, we believe it, it's said, and it's done. Amen, and thank God.
Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.